Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Life is full of what-ifs, some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this is the Force Center podcast feed. I'm Ken Napsok for another edition of Star Wars Ranked. Mina Gas ranking things in Star Wars. Sometimes we get really deep, really poignant. We really go into the depth of our souls and talk about things in Star Wars and then rank them because numbers and rankings are important. And sometimes we go a little silly, but I think even then we find the poignancy in the list. So this week it's a silly list, and to do that silliness, it's Joseph Scrimshaw.
Oh, I'm very, very excited to dive into, I think we're starting at a nice, fun, silly, absurd place, and we'll get to a deep, profound place as we talk about this particular topic.
I think we will. Today's topic is our favorite characters from other movies, but in Star Wars. Our favorite characters that we want to take from other movies and TV shows. I shouldn't even say movies. That's not fair. That's a lie. I'll recorrect that title in the typing there. From other properties, other shows, all parts of our fandoms, and we're going to put them into Star Wars. And I'll explain where this came from. When Christopher Lloyd got announced as being in the cast of Mando 3, a lot of people wondering what he's going to be, but a lot of people, of course, like, hey, Doc Brown, we got Doc Brown in Star Wars. And I thought, well, what if Doc Brown was actually in Star Wars? What if they just said, could you be Doc Brown, but in Star Wars? So, Joseph, from there, we're going to go to this list of wild, crazy stuff. Yeah, I mean, did any of that make sense to you when I emailed it to you?
No, at first I would think I was trying to figure out like, ooh, exactly how are we going to do this? And then you explained that idea of like, yes, fictional characters. Like if Doc Brown is like, oh yeah, because I think about this all the time. I think it's because, you know, you and I and Jennifer have spent so much time, you know, diving into big ideas of Star Wars and, you know, reading other people's, listening to other people's big ideas, that when certain kind of themes or ideas come up in other things I like, I'm like, ooh, it's fun to see the rhythms in certain characters. I'd like, they'd fit into that part. They'd fit into that part. So once I locked into what you were saying, I was like, oh yeah, no, this is going to be horrific to come up with this list because there are so many. And another way to celebrate the other things we like as well as Star Wars.
Yeah, that it ended up being not, definitely not what this is all about, but in trying to come up with my list, it was harder than I thought. Mm-hmm. Number one, when I pitched it to you, I was like, I think I already have my list already made. One person from that mental list I had made it into my list, including honorables. No one else did. A lot of it was you had sent your list over and kind of inspired me to think outside even some of the boxes I was putting myself in with this idea. And then I challenged myself. I'll spoil a little bit. I only have one Game of Thrones character.
Wow.
An early solo Star Wars ranked, which I think is titled, Would Arya Stark Make a Good Jedi? I did that. I took a ranked Game of Thrones characters by myself and directly put them in Star Wars. So I wanted to challenge myself because I talk about Game of Thrones a lot on here, and I know. And then another one, like Indiana Jones, almost put him in the Hall of Fame, but it wasn't going to work for me. It did not work for you. And Indiana Jones, I would say, is my favorite cinematic character. It's his own thing. I don't need Indiana Jones in Star Wars.
Although that's a whole other conversation we could have. Yeah. I've been rewatching those films and that's a ton of fun.
Yeah. And again, my favorite. Yeah. So but once I kind of did that, my list started to open up, and then your great list inspired me to push even further. So we're gonna have a lot of fun, but you guys out there listening, I think you get it. You get the concept. And, we have no plans on how to discuss this. So, you know, my only thought is, we don't need to get lost in the details. There's no, is there a time travel multiverse, whatever reason they're there. And it's the characters. Yes. We might dress some of the characters in Star Wars robes or armor, give him a lightsaber, give him a blaster. Yes, of course. But it is how the characters would fit into Star Wars and maybe some stories around it. So, man, any other thoughts that you had going into compiling your list, Joseph?
No, just that I really agree with this sort of how. I think I'm embracing the spirit of the character or the kind of conflicts that they find themselves in. Sometimes the aesthetics, kind of different entry points into Star Wars. But yeah, no, I'm not saying literally.
Well, I'll say this
person should be plucked and they should wear the same clothes. But I don't want fedoras. So I don't need fedoras in Star Wars. They should be weird space fedoras, like if we were going to put in Indiana Jones.
But I'll say this one photo for me. It was a challenge for me to get over that hump. I'm saying that almost as a reminder to myself, because there's definitely one character I was like, oh, I want to talk about this character. There's no way this person would fit into Star Wars. I'm like, well, that's not the point of the list, Ken. Ken, you must release yourself from that kind of logic. Without further ado, we are going to rank our favorite fictional characters from other properties and put them in Star Wars. Long title. We'll shorten it up in post. Let's get to the list. 5-1, beginning, Joseph, with your number 5.
My number 5, I'm beginning at a place that I think longtime Force Center listeners would expect me to begin, and that's I got to get the Twin Peaks out of the way. Twin Peaks is one of my deep, deep loves, and that is largely because of the character that I am going to put in. My number 5 is FBI Special Agent Dale Cooper. I'm going to try to discuss the why without spoiling. I got a tweet from somebody who's like, you keep talking about Twin Peaks. I'm going to give it a try. Twin Peaks is one of those things that I'm really fascinated by because I think David Lynch and George Lucas are very similar. They are interested in incredibly similar things. It's almost as if like some cosmic muse said, hey, you two, go talk about these issues. And then they get Star Wars and Twin Peaks back and they're like, wow, you're talking about the same issue, but you chose to talk about them in extremely different ways. To some of the same conclusions, but the mood, the aesthetic, very different. So that's a big part of it for me is I think there's a lot in line between Twin Peaks and a lot of Lynch's works, but Twin Peaks and Star Wars in particular. So for Dale Cooper, here's the deal. Dale Cooper is a Jedi. in many, many ways. This is what so attracted me as a young man to Twin Peaks, because he was a little bit like Luke Skywalker, an example of masculinity that I hadn't seen on screen a lot. Dale Cooper is he's got some control issues, and he expresses that by being extremely precise. He is very knowledgeable. He is an excellent, excellent expert marksman. He is an incredibly efficient detective. He is Sherlock Holmes level, you know, bright and observant. But he's also got this other side that is intuitive and kind and sensitive and doesn't mind making a joke. It's just flowing and kind. And it is a part of the story of Twin Peaks that he has all these sort of rigid, analytical, impressive skills. But unlike other agents, he is willing to listen to intuition and to question what he sees. And that is sort of what leads him to some success in the original series. And then the reason I'm bringing him in to Star Wars is he is the Jedi that you'd meet and go, I love this Jedi. I want to be like this Jedi. Oh, no, this Jedi's making some bad, bad choices. And I don't want to spoil anything for anybody, for actual any plot things, if you ever decide to go on the journey. But Dale Cooper is this perfect example of somebody with a good, glowing heart who gives in not to his own personal fear of his well-being, but the fear that he won't be able to control things. He's got this flowing intuitive side, and if he listened almost more to his flowing intuitive side, he'd be fine, because it's massive problems because he can't let go of control. So that's my number five. Dale Cooper is the Jedi who inspires me, and then I learn from from their inability to let go.
Man, I love this. This is you set the bar high here for discussing these characters. And I know you love Twin Peaks and this character so much. So it makes a lot of sense. Do you have any I don't think we need to discuss any detail, super, super details of them in Star Wars. But is there an era? Is this a follow the Empire type of Jedi? Do you want the High Republic? And he's trying to help expand the galaxy. Do you have any thoughts on where you'd put Dale Cooper?
Yeah, I think I would put him, it would be easy to put him toward the end of the Clone Wars, but I think it's a more of a personal journey for him. So I'd love to put him in the High Republic. I think he'd be a really valiant Jedi Knight. I think, you know, a little bit of Elzar Man in Stellan Geos stuff going on there with him, where he's struggling with something and, like, you know, he encounters some sort of Jedi artifact where people are like, that's dangerous and you don't need it. And, like, yeah, but I'm going to mess with it because maybe I can fix everything. And things go really wrong. And then on just kind of the lighter, more fun note, one of the very famous things about Dale Cooper, Boy Scout, he likes to keep track of everything. So he records, he's got a tape recorder, and he addresses his assistant and friend and more, Diane. So he'll make little notes that are about the case and then wander off into fun, weird flights of fancy. So that would be fun if he had a Star Wars version of that, to have some sort of a space recording device where he talks to a random assistant that you never meet.
Yeah. Or like if Diane was an astromech droid, a DAIA-1 droid or something like that.
In the original series, you don't meet Diane, but in the third season, you do meet her, and she's Holdo. So it's great.
Oh, that's right. That is the key. Yeah, you're right. I did see that. So there's the connection there. It turns out it is connection. Just Amulan Holdo.
Yes. So, yeah.
All right.
Jedi Dale Cooper would say, Holdo, I am traveling at this many parsecs. Anyway, Dale Cooper, my number five.
That's a great start to the list. Dale Cooper, Twin Peaks. I think we had a hunch he might show up here.
Yeah.
So the fact that he's only number five, intriguing about what you got coming down the pipeline. My number five is going back to one of my favorite movies. Again, this just kind of becomes you and I looking at the things we love and pulling them off the shelf and saying, hey, can they fit in Star Wars? I'm going to the 1996 comedy, but also a personal journey film, Gross Point Blank, one of my favorites there. And John Cusack's lead character there, Martin Blank, the hitman who doesn't have the heart of gold. He has no heart, and he has to kind of discover it. And he goes on the spiritual awakening. and reconnects with things in his past, mistakes in his past, seeks redemption, seeks change, but comes from this very, what he feels is at first kind of a, you know, just an amoral place. It's not me. It's the job. I'm not here to kill you because I don't like you. I'm here to kill you because someone paid me to. You did something to get me at the door. I can't worry about that. And from that, he loses the passion for the job and goes on this personal journey. And I just naturally, you know, you go to Bounty Hunters. I thought about Boba Fett and the stuff Book of Boba Fett was saying. So I'm like, this would be a great character to just toss in Star Wars, put a silencer on his blaster. And the idea, the thoughts of not necessarily directly you have to choose a side. This isn't Finn and DJ and the maybe that changed the galaxy. But it's like that kind of story of you're just going through the galaxy. You're in the underworld and thinking you're not really a part of this. You're not part of the death and destruction in the galaxy. You're just doing your job and wanting to change that and starting off on that journey. And then how it's hard. It's not easy to break the patterns and make this kind of big leap. You and I were just talking about some of the big leaps Ahsoka has to make in her changes. And so I'm thinking about this one too. A lot of things pop up, you know, it's a high school reunion story. It's a love story. It's all those kind of things. Dan Aykroyd doing his Dan Aykroydness. It's all that stuff. But just take the character, take that journey, throw it into Star Wars, throw it on the level 1313. And how does he climb out of that and reclaim his soul? That's a Star Wars story. And I want to see Martin Blake from Ghost Point Blank reclaim his soul in Star Wars.
Oh, that is a great choice. You're making me want to rewatch Gross Point Blank because it's also just a great action movie.
Yes.
Some great scenes of desperation of, I need to take this person out quietly with a pen. That stuff would be, maybe we'll see some of that in Andor.
Maybe
Martin Blank belongs in the Andor series as a fellow rebel assassin.
Yeah, no, you're right. Like, you're right. I'm just, I do this because it's the job, and is it all worth something? Oh, that's a great spot.
Because I have to. Yeah, and I also think that it's a great Star Wars idea that it is his past that he needs to come to peace with in order to find a way to move forward. So he's right in line with the sequel trilogy as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, a little. He does want to kind of just kill the past. He wants to ignore the past. You're right. The past is there. He wants to apologize for it, but doesn't want to learn from it for a long while. And that's part of it, too. So plus he'd have a nice all, you know, black on black on black armor robe setup or something. He'd be, you know, is he a Sith? No, he just likes the style. So there you go. There you go.
Yeah. Great choice.
Starting off my list. That's my number five. But we're up to your number four.
My number four is definitely a character I like. I would never say, like, this is one of my favorite franchises, but this is one of my favorite characters who's widely known and beloved in pop culture. And when I thought of the kinds of things she does, the kind of journey she goes on, she just seems so right for Star Wars. I'm going from the Aliens franchise to Ellen Ripley. She is, of course, you know, I think gets featured a lot is an example of an action hero, you know, a woman who is an action hero, but she's so much more. I love in particular the first two films. The reasons that I thought of her for Star Wars is she's got that great snark, you know. She is fiery, doesn't absolutely pushes back. Obviously she is fearful in moments but overcomes that fear, which is also a very Star Wars thing. But the issues that she deals with, right, of a lot of her enemy is not just giant aliens with mouths inside their mouths. It's corporate greed. Talk about mouths inside mouths, right?
Yeah.
That it's the people making bad choices, like obviously bonkers bad choices based on pure greed, and her fight against that. And then also I think the fact that a lot of her journey in the second film in particular is about not just survival but defense, right? Mm-hmm. It is about defending this young girl that she meets, and I think she'd be she'd be like a roguish bounty hunter type or somebody much like she is in the film. Like maybe she's a hyperspace prospector who falls into a horror show and kind of trains herself up and becomes a little bit more of a bounty hunter type or an Aphra type, or like, I'm going to do what needs to be done to get by in this really rough galaxy. But within that, there's just such that Jedi-like spirit of defense, right?
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Makes a lot of sense here.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess you could say it's an easy transition just because it's space. But no, the heart is the transition here. I love that.
Yeah, yeah. So it's her actions and her enemies. You got a character whose enemies are really scary aliens who just kind of represent destruction and death and horror, and people in suits who make bad choices because of money. George Lucas would love it.
Yeah, plop her right in the heart of the prequel era. Absolutely. Exactly. Out there, a lost episode of Clone Wars. No, absolutely. Absolutely love that. And for that character to emerge during that time, along with Princess Leia in that era, but just presenting a different kind of hero for many, many generations of fans to be inspired by. It's powerful. That alone belongs in Star Wars.
Yeah, beloved for a reason. That's my number four, Ripley.
Well, that's an important choice. That's a deep choice. It's a great choice. This next one for me, my number four, is potentially out there, but I do think we need a little bit of a villain, and I'm going with Unicron from specifically the Transformers animated movie, Transformers the movie. That the character does live on in other forms, even appearing. I don't know. I didn't see it in some ways, but Transformers Last Night. This is the character that terrified me in 1986, voiced by Orson Welles in his final role, and this is essentially a it's described Unicron is a prodigiously large robot whose scale reaches planetary proportions and is also able to transform into a giant planet. I just always, it's to me a big planet that eats planets and wants to destroy the galaxy and offers Megatron a deal with the devil, so to speak, to come back as Galvatron. So we got Death Stars, we got planet killers. We got the Final Order running around with planet killer weapons. We need this god of chaos who devours realities, as it's described here in Star Wars. Give me a big giant planet going around and just eating worlds, literally. We have the Nile, the Drengir, all these other concepts doing that in a smaller scale. But now to actually see a group of Jedi having to fight an entire planet that could eat them, that could destroy them. And it's this, is it us? Is the planet us? Are we destroying us? You can ask all the big questions you want. And you can also terrify little Kenny. That's for years will only associate the great Orson Welles with this role. I thought this was the only thing he's ever done. Took me a while to learn. Oh, he's done some other things. Okay. Something about a sled or something. Okay. Got it. So anyways, I'm just going big, going bold. Imagine a big trash planet with a city on it, eating up another world. Give me that in Star Wars.
This is a great choice for Star Wars because of everything you're saying. The idea that something as large as a planetary scale could be sentient and could really only hunger to devour and manipulate. The fact that in the movie we see the heroes like inside Unicron, right? Inside the belly of the beast is obviously that's a mythic metaphor that Star Wars takes literally all the time. We just talked about it with the Ahsoka arc. What are they kind of going through? Is it like the subconscious? Great. We'll put them in a sewer then. Like Star Wars loves literally going into the belly of the beast and what's inside and underneath. And yeah, that theme of devouring also great in Star Wars. Ken, I got to tell you, you sent me on a journey.
So it's a journey.
Orson Welles has been a part of my life for a long time. I've been a big fan because I heard the Shadow radio show when I was a little kid and then found about War of the Worlds and then found out he started in theater. He's got a great radio adaptation of Dracula, which is my favorite interpretation of Dracula. Obviously, love his films. Always knew that this was his final role. I watched the Transformers show as a kid. I did not see this movie. And I feel like in the last couple days of my life, Orson Welles keeps popping up and this movie keeps popping up. So I went to that Academy Museum this weekend and they have the actual prop of Rosebud. Went to Moose One Frank and they just sat us in the booth. That's Orson Welles' favorite booth. I didn't know that. I didn't know that Weird Al had a song in this movie. And that popped up in the last couple of days. Yeah. And then when I got your list last night, it was like the will of the force. And I Sarah's got her dance rehearsal on Tuesday night. And I was just like, the universe is speaking to me. I'm going to watch Transformers the movie for the very first time in the year 2022, when that film is set in 2005. Wow. Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Like, I knew that it was this horrific marketing idea to kill the known characters so they could, you know, put over the new characters they wanted to make toys of. I did not know that it was endless, wall-to-wall, 80s screech rock with a blissful break for over Weird Al song.
Weird Al was a Dare to Be Stupid. You get Stan Bush. We got the touch. We got the power. Yes. Yes. And even if you, Den of Geek, I'm reading from Wikipedia, not Wikipedia, though if I had my way, Unicron would be in Wikipedia. Den of Geek says, remember the great toy massacre of 1986, which traumatized a generation of kids with a string of startling deaths. That's the truth. This along with Nanta are the deaths that rocked me as a kid. Optimus Prime, but other, like, I think it's Ironhide, Ratchet, all these toys I own dying.
Yep.
And then there's a swear word in the film. I don't know if it still survived, but in the theaters, I can confirm. I think it was the S word. And oh my gosh, I got in trouble for just hearing it in the film. my dad came home and had to like apologize to my mom. There was the S word in it. That was big. It was a big day.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's one of the humans who says it. Like, what? Like,
yeah, I think it's the dad, Spike. Right? Yeah, I think, yeah, it might be the dad. Is that Spike Wiki? I forget. It's been a bit. Spike's dad, who's also from the comics in the Daniel Wiki. Yeah, no one concerned about the trauma I was going through of Optimus Prime died, a Unicron's eating other planets. Could that happen to us? But I heard the S word, and that was a bad day.
Yeah. There were many things I enjoyed in this, but I felt, you know how sometimes a movie can make you feel drunk? Like it just, like it grabbed you and like was shaking you the whole time. It's an amazing experience. I also, I want to share this quote from Orson Welles that he told his biographer that's in the Wikipedia article about this film, because it brings us back to Star Wars. It's the kind of thing that sometimes actors say about Star Wars. Here's what Orson Welles allegedly said to his biographer, Barbara Lemming. You know what I did this morning? I played the voice of a toy. I play a planet. I meant it's somebody called something or other. Then I'm destroyed. My plan to destroy whoever it is thwarted. And I tear myself apart on the screen.
And he found the reason to play it. That is beautiful.
He found the heart of Unicron.
Love
wow.
That. There you go. See, this was a chance to talk about things we don't normally talk about on Force Center. Transformers the movie. And I was a Transformers kid. I was. I loved the comics, loved the toys. Loved telling all my friends, we're gonna transform into cars now. Just follow me. And I fall to the ground and they just stared at me on the playground. Like I was a weirdo. Yes. But anyways, Unicron, big villain in Star Wars.
Yeah. Amazing.
Well, we are just up through our number four choices. The party is still going here. Now we go to Joseph. Your number three choice for your favorite character from other things that we want to see in Star Wars.
Well, I'll make up for some of the time that I spent talking about Unicron and just the amazing, strange experience I went through last night with my number three. I know I wanted to have some characters from Star Trek. There's a ton of characters that would be fascinating to use Spock's quote because of the different relationship between Star Trek and Star Wars, where they overlap and where they really pursue things differently. But there's one character that I feel like you could pick up exactly who the character is, exactly what they look like, and just dump them into Star Wars. And that is the character Morn from Star Trek Deep Space Nine. Now, Ken, I don't know if you know Morn or if you want to Google Morn.
I'm reminding myself, I should have done this last night. I'm sure I'll see a picture and be like, yes. Oh, yes, Morn. Yes, I wear Morn.
Yeah. So Star Trek Deep Space Nine, for me, it is probably my favorite Star Trek. One of the things that's going on, it's set on the space station, Deep Space Nine. One of the fun continuing things is there is a bar, and Morn is just a mixed up version of Norm from Cheers, because he plays that function. He's just this beautiful weirdo who sits at the bar, and kind of at first he's just in the background, but then they kind of develop this backstory around Morn that he is, you never hear him speak, but he's really talkative, and you'll have a scene where like one of the characters is just like stepping away and rolling their eyes, and somebody else will be like, Morn got you again, did he? He told you the whole story. You're like, yes, couldn't get away from Morn. Eventually there's a Morn episode where the real kind of comedy of like, he's got this whole rich life that we don't see kind of comedy, but he's just this great, he's just a space barfly made of charm, and you could plop him down anywhere, you know, at Chalmers, he would be absolutely great at the Sanctuary, you know, rest in peace, Sanctuary, and Book of Boba Fett. But you could, he could be a high roller at Canto Bight, just talking people's ears off. Absolutely would fit in there. So that's my number three, Morn. Space barfly.
Yeah, I'm somewhat aware now that I've looked at the pictures of it, and I get the joke. But yeah, I'm looking at a wiki, and it says the first time Morn walked into Quark's was around 2364, a time when he still had his hair. Quark thought he was just another customer passing through when he sat down in what would soon be known as his stool. I'm sold. I need that in Star Wars.
Yeah, it's kind of a function of the costume, but like the way he kind of has to turn his whole body to try to look at you a little bit, but he's also trying to side eye you. There's something just so funny and charming about it. It
would fit in perfect with the Mando and Book of Boba Fett universe, where they've done a pretty good job, but there's sometimes those little struggles of actually seeing Corin in live action, right? practical or some of the Clatuinians, I thought, you know, like they got the look, but when they start talking, Morn would fit right in with that energy. I love that.
Yeah. There's a space for you at the Star Wars bar, Morn. That's my number three.
Great choice. Well, from drinking in the corner of a space bar, we're going to go to the fields of battle. My number three choice is, and I knew I wanted someone from the Lord of the Rings films. I knew. And I'm specifically talking the Jackson films, not from the books. I wanted some from there, and I had a lot of different choices. And then I thought about one of my best moments in a theater, and it revolved around my number three choice, which is Eowyn, Miranda Otto's character from Lord of the Rings in Return of the King, when she is standing in front of the Witch King of Aghmor, and it does not look good. And he says so boldly and proudly, no man can kill me. And she whips off the helmet and says, I am no man. The theater I was in stood and applauded. It's one of the greatest moments I have ever witnessed. And I've always just loved the character because that. And even when I do it, and I pull out the director cuts once a year, sit down on a Saturday and Sunday and watch them all as much as I can before my legs fall asleep there and I have trouble walking. And I still get chills in that moment because of it. And that's such a Star Wars moment. And I think you could take, I think not like the Resistance era, that wouldn't necessarily be the problem, because part of Eowyn's, you know, the character is she's born into this world where she was not allowed as a woman to fight, you know, and she's got to kind of stay behind. And there's some honor than that. Aragorn tries to sell. Everyone's trying to sell her on that place, right? You go in the caves. You keep everyone safe. She doesn't want that. That's not what she wants to do. Her and Perry have that too. Going on. So I think that would work well in an older bygone era of Star Wars. It wouldn't work in the Resistance era for me, right? Because she'd be like, hey, I'd like to fight. They'd be like, Leia would be like, yeah, absolutely. What do you want? Get in here. So if you take it back to an older time, an old Republic time where the galaxy was a little more of a darkened age in what they believed and what the roles they would force people in, I think you would have the great hero moment. And her becoming a leader out of that, you know, with Aragorn's past and everything, there's so much to take from the character. So I don't love that moment. It inspires me in the theaters, and I want to see that in Star Wars. So Eowyn, get on in here, grab a lightsaber, start fighting the race that are on Exegol harassing them.
I think that is a great choice. I rewatched those films for the first time in a very long time this past December. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's so strong because it's so built up from the horror of the enemies and the armies and how much the fighting is needed and how unstoppable her opponent is. And also then, yes, from how much he is being denied to be on the battlefield.
Yes, yes.
He has to keep fighting for it and sneaking for it, and that victory feels so, so earned. Yeah, I know what you're saying about some of the gender idea mm-hmm. of it is, does that fit into Star Wars? But yeah, imagining that character being denied, you know, if that is a character who comes from, you know, a culture in Star Wars that maybe has
yeah.
some gender issues.
Yeah, yeah.
But it reminds me of other moments where people are either being denied to do something or denying themselves. Like the feel of that moment is for me similar to Rey catching the lightsaber, right?
Yeah.
Because Rey in Force Awakens, right? Because Rey is denying herself, yeah, and right. Kylo is denying that she is at all important. She's a scavenger girl. She has no place in this story. Like that, mm-hmm. he doesn't say that in Force Awakens, but that energy is already there. So it is this triumphant, I do matter. I do have value here. I do have strength here, you know? Yeah. And I think that's what's so powerful about those moments. Obviously, they relate very much to being a woman. Yeah. But I think we all feel that feeling of nobody thinks I have a place here. Nobody thinks I have value here. And then that hell yeah, fist pumping moment when you do is great.
Yeah, yeah. And I think I said Perry, I meant Mary, of course, Maraguin there. So you got to get all my Lord of the Rings names up and running again as the show starts coming. Yeah, yeah, no, well said on that. I love all that there. And again, I'm just talking about the Jackson and films. There's still obviously a lot of different versions of this character out there, including, you know, the original books, too. So check it out there. I love that moment. That's my number three, Eowyn, in Star Wars, which means we're up to your number two.
My number two, I went somewhere I didn't expect to go, but I found myself there and I said, I'm sticking to it. I was thinking about horror. I mm-hmm. am a horror fan, and I think horror definitely does have a place in Star Wars. I think Star Wars deals with darkness and fear and the unknown, and how do you face the unknown? And I think that's a lot of what the appeal of horror is. And I thought of a couple different horror characters that might be kind of fascinating in Star Wars, but then I just thought of one of my favorites. So my number two is Pennywise the Clown from It.
I mean, I'm out because I'm scared. I'm already scared.
Right. After I picked this, I saw that somebody is developing a prequel of Pennywise early days, murdering people in Derry. I think the reason that it clicked for me, I was also thinking how sometimes Star Wars dabbles in cosmic horror. Lovecraft and many other authors really started this specific kind of horror that isn't about, you know, a person with a knife. It is about these grand cosmic things that force you to see the scale of existence and your own place in it and make you question yourself and your sanity. And the clown form and the Pennywise is how we know it. But what it actually is this giant cosmic being that is kind of unknowable. So in sort of that truth of what it is really fits for Star Wars. It's like, you know, some weird, you know, dark side virgins that can take on different forms and then feed on the fear of its victims. Like, it's kind of like if the, you know, the cave from Dagobah, the tree cave, was like mobile.
Yeah.
Mobile and hostile. And then when you get to like, okay, great, that all works fine. But, you know, you can't have a clown in Star Wars. Well, I offer you the Gamorrean clown from The Gathering Ark, a part of the great traveling circus. So I want Pennywise the clown, but Pennywise is a Gamorrean clown. Ooh. Who feeds on the children's fear.
I mean, this would fit well in the High Republic era. We see, you know, the nameless, you know, the great leveler there feeding on the Jedi's fear, right? So this tracks for Star Wars horror. I'm terrified. Yeah, I can't even. Poor Grace is still mad at me for not watching It with her. I you know, she's a big horror movie fan. I don't do them well, so. I'm okay with clowns. Clowns, a lot of people, but a Gamorrean clown killing people in Star Wars, I don't know. That's great. That's a great choice. It's a great choice.
Yeah. I want to see it. I want to see some fan artwork of Pennywise the Clown as a Gamorrean. So that's my number two, a clown pig monster that feeds on fear and also flesh, but mostly fear.
Mostly fear. Well, from that scary choice there, we're going a little bit smaller, but going all around the galaxy. In fact, we're gonna hitchhike around the galaxy because I'm going with Ford Prefect from, this is specific, the 2005 Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy movie as played by Mos Def. I love the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy franchise, if you will, the different version of stories. Big Douglas Adams fan, like a lot of people are. But I love this film. Is it perfect? Nah, did it capture everything? No, I think it's better than people want to give it credit for. It just did not launch the film franchise like they hoped. So I think it gets overlooked. Some of the big plot changes in the film were actually put in by Douglas Adams in the early draft of the script, but people didn't care about that when they were complaining about it. Douglas would be mad. Douglas made the decisions to change the story. Anyways, in all that is great performances from so many people, but I love Mos Def as Ford Prefect. The moment he comes on screen, I was like, that's Ford. That's what I picked. The energy, the chaotic nature of it, the naive but also galaxy-weary explorer, him having a bar tab and problems in every bar all around the galaxy. We have a character I'd like to see in Star Wars giving us a tour of the galaxy. That guy who just has all the answers on his little data pad, kind of not involved in the big story, but is also at the center of it all. He knows the place to go on Coruscant. He doesn't go to Dex's diner because he's probably hasn't paid his tab in a while. I think he has a complicated relationship with Maz Kanata. He's definitely been to Canto Bight one too many times, but also shows up on Tatooine and people are like, where you been, Ford? Where you been? He has a towel. He has his data pad, which, the Hitchhiker's Guide probably called something else there. But he's still prepared for anything. He is a world galaxy, like I said, galaxy weary travel with all the answers. And I have no big plot. I have no need for him to have a blaster or a lightsaber. In fact, he tries to get out of fights. Might be the most Star Wars thing about him. No, let's not fight. Let's talk it out. Let's drink it out. He is loyal and loyal to Arthur Dent. So put him in Star Wars. Ford Prefect's going to take us all around the galaxy.
Oh, that is great. I am a big, big fan of Hitchhikers, the books. I really like the 80s BBC television adaptation. You are such a defender of the 2005 film adaptation that I got to give it another chance because, I watched it back in the day. Yeah. I did not get angry about it, but it didn't connect. And I think I got to give it another chance and open my mind to really saying this is a different interpretation and not obsessed with did it hit every little beat or every little mood that I want it to.
Side note of that, I recently read the first Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, the first book, and was embarrassed because I've always told people, oh, I love 2005, even though they changed a lot of things. And I would list now the Malkovich stuff is all different, but some of the stuff towards the end, I was like, yeah, they changed a lot of it. It's closer than I remembered. And I was embarrassed by some of it. Anyways, side discussion on Hitchhiker Center. Anyways, your thoughts on Ford?
Yeah, no, I think he's perfect. He's such a great comic foil character where you kind of like him, but he is letting the heroes down. Like I can really see an episode of Clone Wars where, Obi-Wan and Anakin get stranded and they need to hitch a ride with somebody in Ford Prefect's like, I can help you out. And he's really funny and the audience is very sympathetic to him, but they're so annoyed with him.
Constantly.
So I think he's a great choice of just like I'm trying to be a stand-up guy. I'm trying to make my way through the galaxy, but I make some mistakes.
There's just something about Mos Def's performance too. It just from the moment he shows up, Arthur is the everyman. That was kind of the thing. It's kind of the point. And I have my bathrobe too. And I love more Martin Freeman's performance there. But just the energy, it just was like, this is what I've been reading in my head, and I'd love to see. Especially in say like Mando or Boba Fett, where you have that type of character, and Amy Sedaris, initially I was like, her style, her comedy wasn't, the energy wasn't vibing with me, and it's grown on me, and it's worked, and they found the way to make it work. So, just that kind of energy with, I'd love to see that chaotic, nice energy. I don't know. Describe it.
Oh yeah. Oh, that'd be perfect. Yeah. Ford Prefect could also give Din Djarin a ride, and Din will be real cranky.
Oh yeah. Oh God. Just do you ever shut up? Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Are you drunk right now? Yep.
There you go.
Great choice.
There you go. Grab your towel, everybody. That is my number two choice, Ford Prefect. But we are going to take a quick break. When we come back, honorable mentions. A lot of characters that we wanted to include but didn't quite make the list. And our number one choices for our favorite characters from other stories. And we're putting them in Star Wars. Stick around for more Star Wars Land.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at UH1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too. Like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Welcome back to Star Wars Ranked. Me, Ken Napsok, and Joseph Scrimshaw are ranking for our favorite characters from all the other books and movies and shows and things we love that we don't get to talk about often on Force Center, but occasionally we'll make references to. And we're dumping them into Star Wars. Joseph, I at one point had to stop. We always say that. Oh, there's so many choices. I had to stop. I stopped at 5. I had at least 10. I was going to email you. So.
Oh, really? Yeah. For honorable mentions?
Honorable mentions. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, I think did I add one? I might have added one. Yeah. Oh, I think I have 6.
How dare you? How dare you, sir? How dare you? Well, what are some of your honorable mention choices there?
Well, one of the other worlds that I love deeply is James Bond. And I thought of the characters in James Bond, the various interpretations from the movies in particular of Q, I think would fit very well. This is one of the first times where I'm like, oh, yeah, I would change that. So Q is a droid.
I love that.
cranky, older or younger, but kind of persnickety droid who makes very nice things. Like, if it was a droid who is responsible for restocking Mando, for example, and you know, or you know, keeping the armor up, and just that great repartee that's in the films of Q gets to mostly stay safe in his lab and keep everything pristine. And James Bond has to go out there and deal with reality. And that great contrast of you see the hell James Bond goes through. Yeah. And then Q's like, did you put a scratch on that? That dynamic from a droid to a Star Wars hero would be really fun.
Oh, that's great. That's a great thing. I'd love to see that.
Another one for me is from the world of The Walking Dead. I know I've talked about the actor appearing in Star Wars, which I'd still like, but the character Michonne would be great in Star Wars. She is in the time before the zombie apocalypse, though they don't ever use the word zombie. It has been struck from people's memory in that world. She's a lawyer, so she is like very, very intelligent, very efficient. She is very caring, has a heart of gold, and then is a ferocious fighter and will do anything to protect the people she loves. Amazingly talented with the sword, her weapon of choice. Yeah. And I've been gravitated to that character always because of just the wonderful performance. But also, like, why? I understand for the fun of storytelling, everybody's got to have their different weapon. But why would everyone in the zombie apocalypse not have a sword?
Yes.
You got distance. You can get to the heads easily. Mm. Anyway, a big vote for Michonne falling into a time-space portal and ending up in Star Wars.
Yeah, I'm someone who's not super familiar with the Walking Dead world, so I love hearing a little bit more about the character. I wasn't aware of a lot of that, the lawyer and all the stuff. I just know the sword, and the sword alone will get you into Star Wars. So,
right. She knows how to handle a saber.
Awesome. One more there. I'll give some of mine.
Yeah. This is one really out of left field. I was really looking at my some of my shelves and going, oh, I want to really be adventurous about where I go. And I thought of, you know what, a show I really like that's very important? The Wire. And I thought of the character Omar from The Wire. Omar plays this fascinating role in the story of he's kind of a part of the criminal world, but he robs from the criminals. Right. He is kind of on the outside of the system, but everybody expects that to be a part of the system. So he is a part of the system. The great big story of The Wire. Haven't watched it in a long time. I'm sure there are many other insights to be had there on his role and his character. But he struck me as this kind of fascinating figure who, like, in the era of the Empire would be like, I'm not trying to start the rebellion. I'm just kind of looking out for number one. So I rob Crimson Dawn. I robbed the Hutt cartel for myself to keep going, you know?
I love that idea. That's great.
Yeah. And then there's a recurring thing where he lets people in the neighborhood know he's coming. So there's a recurring phrase of he makes a sound and people say, Omar's coming. That would be very fun in Star Wars as well.
Oh, you're pitching some great stuff here. I don't know if mine match up to this here, but I wanted to go a little comedy. I was thinking, you know, again, you know, you think characters in Star Wars, who could be a Jedi, who could be this and that. I just want a scoundrel that's not as noble in heart as Han Solo, that maybe doesn't learn the lessons right away and allows us to go into the underbelly of the upper crust. So now we are on the higher levels of Coruscant. You are on Canto Bight, maybe Naboo. You go into all these places where there's a lot of rich folks there, and this character feels like, hey, I'm going to live off them, and that's my concept of being noble. But really, he's just a scoundrel. He's a misogynist. He's a sexist. He is just a jerk at times. He doesn't get it, but I still love him. What you're saying, maybe something? I don't know. It's also from a movie that's so close to Star Wars because the director is Frank Oz and Ian McDiarmid's in it. And that is Freddie Benson, Steve Martin's character from Dirty Rotten Scoundrels.
Wow.
You know, he's not a good dude. Not a good dude. Dirty Rotten Scoundrels. But I love that movie. It's absolutely one of my favorites. He's got a lot to learn. And Star Wars is a place for us to learn. And I almost had him in my top five, but I thought it might have been too similar to some of the things that a personal redemption story that maybe Martin Blank would need to go through from Gross Point Blank. And there's less redeemable qualities about Freddie Benson. But I just the idea of just dropping him on a train, on a ship to Naboo, or to Canto Bight, and where he's just trying to take advantage, and he's really just a fly in the ointment. He's really annoying, but funny and entertaining nonetheless. And there's lessons, again, lessons to be had. Does he learn them? Probably not. But maybe we as an audience can learn them. So I'm putting Freddie Benson in Star Wars.
Oh, dirty, rotten space scoundrels. I'm here for it.
And you guess you can grab Michael Caine, too, as well, and put him in there. Then I am, I'll flip my list around here a little bit. I'm going to one of my all-time favorite TV shows that I, in high school, Joseph, I was known, not as a Star Wars guy, not as a baseball guy, those things as well, but I was known as the guy who had all the knowledge of Gilligan's Island. A lot of people love Gilligan's Island, and you know, I don't know if you, I'm sure you probably could still find it somewhere. I don't know. I used to watch 4 episodes a day on syndication.
Yeah, kids, we didn't have choices.
We didn't have choices. My summer days were 8:30 showing for breakfast, like a 11:30, 12 showing for lunch, and a 4 o'clock before my mom was getting dinner ready. That was my summers during school. So I used to watch Gilligan's Island a lot, from another era, to be clear. But I went with Willie Gilligan, with Gilligan himself. You could go to Captain Jonas Grumby. You could do a lot of those different characters. But I thought, what better pairing with Jar Jar Binks than Willie Gilligan? Gilligan and Jar Jar getting caught up in a mystery, getting caught up in an adventure where they both save the day, maybe entirely by accident, but not by accident, because their hearts put them in the right spot. Their desire to do good puts them in the spot they need to be, and their comedy has purpose. And I can think of a lot of things they can get into, a lot of problems. And I definitely can see Gilligan dropping some boombas there. I definitely can see him tripping and falling and saving the day with Jar Jar at his side. So Gilligan and Jar Jar, my Star Wars comedy duo.
Yeah, dropping boombas and dropping coconuts. They're practically the same character. Like, how would you feel if Gilligan himself was not introduced to Star Wars, but picking up on this connection, there was a Disney Plus show called Jar Jar's Island, where he is crashed on an island, and the other people come to understand and respect his good heart.
I'm sold. Give me Castaways. 3 light year tour. Absolutely.
Yeah, 3 light year tour.
Love that. Another one for me is going to my love of G.I. Joe. I'm a G.I. Joe kid. You know, a lot of you were all reading your superhero books. I had my G.I. Joe toy comic book. All right. The one that sold me the toys. And yes, I was buying all the toys. A lot of characters that I could toss in there. Most of them, would be good hearted people who were trying to fight for right. Right. No, I'm going evil. I'm going with the Baroness. The Baroness is one of my all-time favorite characters. I have actually a lot of Baroness merch. Oddly enough, I love this character. She's evil. Yeah, she's a little evil. She's a little sexy. She's a little dangerous. She's all sorts of things. She also comes from money. She's spoiled rich. She is someone who didn't quite learn. So imagine if, like, I don't know, Iden Versio didn't have the change of heart. Born into wealth and privilege in the galaxy on a planet that serves the Empire without question, and then, you know, comes to terms with it. Well, imagine just the Baroness is like, nah, no, I'm in a good spot. I'm going to keep doing evil in the galaxy. So there you go. Put her up in the high tower, give her a blaster, and head her out, head into the galaxy to cause problems.
Yeah, hey, you got to have the characters who are just not going to make a better choice sometimes, and that seems like Baroness. Now, I am looking at pictures of her on the internet, which, wow, there are a lot of different kinds of pictures, put it that way. I see her action figure. I see some of what might be called fan fiction. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. But I see that she's got glasses in every iteration, which seems like an important part of all of the various ideas that are being packed into this character that might have affected impressionable youth in many different ways. But it's clearly a core part of her character. Does she need glasses in Star Wars?
Yes. I think the glasses will have a little bit more to them, right? Maybe some vision enhancement, data readouts. But yeah, you got to have the glasses.
Yeah. Oh, amazing. I might need to do a Baroness deep dive, read some essays on the impact of this character.
There is a lot. All good? Probably not. A couple more on my list, but I want to hear a couple more of your honorable mentions.
So I had to include some characters from Doctor Who. Doctor Who, I think, does also shares a lot of DNA with Star Wars. It is often about hope and kindness and empathy, triumphing over anger and fear and division. And it really shares the absolute deep DNA of the pulp and the serial and the fantastic and the weird. So there's so much about Doctor Who and Star Wars that I really, really think connect. But for characters, I went with two specific characters. One is from the original series. The third and fourth Doctor companion later appears in the new series, later gets her own series, Sarah Jane Smith. Sarah Jane Smith for me was like, she was formative, like Leia, of being young and seeing this woman that was multifaceted. So in the show, she's a journalist, and she ends up traveling with the Doctor and facing things. And the great thing about Sarah is, you know, some of the companions in Doctor Who could kind of lean into the stereotype of the women companions would see something scary and they'd scream. And then, you know, especially earlier on, it's not always, not all of them, many different ones. I want to be very clear for my Doctor Who, fellow Doctor Who fans, there's a lot of variety within this. But what was great about Sarah was she always got frightened, and then she found a way past the fear. So it was just this very human character of like, yeah, there isn't this bravado of like, I'm not at all terrified. That, you know, I'm being chased by horrific monsters.
Right.
She's like, this is quite terrifying and I'm going to find a way to deal with it. So I think she would fit very well into Star Wars as just some kind of finally on screen. They're in print, but like a journalist tracking things down and encountering terrors and being frightened, but finding a way through. She later gets partnered with another character from Doctor Who that is kind of in Doctor Who because of Star Wars, and that is the robot dog K-9. The Star Wars had many, many impacts. James Bond goes like, well, crap, I guess we got to do Moonraker, and it's not an original novel, but they'll be in space, and there'll be laser guns, and Doctor Who already in space, like, oh, they like cute robots, huh? Well, here you go, K-9 the robot dog. Was in some ways responding to Star Wars. So why not put him in Star Wars? He'd fit just fine the way he is. He's a robot dog.
Yeah. I love that. That's great. What's the one for? There's also like a robot dog in like the Buck Rogers or Battlestar Galactica that is a kid.
Yeah. Yeah.
It all makes sense. And it all was like circles back to Star Wars. Exactly what you're saying. Oh, they like the robots. Robot dog. Here we go.
Yeah. And then this one needs next to no explanation. Just my favorite hench person from He-Man and the Masters of the Universe, Merman. Merman fits just the way he is. Throw him in there.
Oh, yeah. He can be fighting against the Mon Calamari, anything you want.
Yeah, throw him into any old water planet. He can punch it out with Rift Tamsin. No problem. Throw Merman in there.
I love Merman. I used to collect the Masters of the Universe figures, too, back in the day. But the Merman I had was a hand-me-down from a friend. I got in like a trade.
Okay.
I think I traded some baseball cards, maybe a G.I. Joe figure. I got a Merman back, and he had a ripped ear. So I always, every time I played He-Man figures, I had to like account for his ear. Like something had happened. He had battle damage coming in.
Did He-Man bite it off or something?
I don't know, but it was enough to, you know, make him bitter and angry.
You predicted the way Merman is depicted in the recent Kevin Smith Netflix Masters of the Universe.
Oh, I haven't finished that series yet, which only because I haven't had a chance to yet, but I like the first couple episodes.
And I got one more to wrap it up here.
Okay.
Which will be very short because I'm not going to give any explanation because I think it's still too close to the film. The most recent iteration of Batman called The Batman. Ah, man. I thought it was just going to be grimdark, and Batman goes through some Jedi lessons in the film The Batman, and it made me love Batman. I really love that. I've always loved the character. It made me love this take on The Batman.
I love that. I haven't had chance. It's on our list. Maybe even this weekend, Grace and I are going to watch it to finally get around to it. She has been dying to see it. She's a Pattinson fan. So I'm so curious about what your take on that. Put it in there. Put it in Star Wars.
Yeah.
Love that.
Get him in there.
Great honorable mentions. I got two more to round it up. Then we'll go to our number one choices here. I'm going to 1997's Men in Black. I wanted to choose enemies, you know, some evil folks to cause problems in the galaxy. And I'm going to The Bug, Vincent D'Onofrio's character, both all versions, you know. About a cat. I want that guy in Star Wars, some kind of Star Wars horror show, a bug that's in the body of a humanoid in Star Wars going around, and the Jedi have to go, you know, maybe even it's an adventure for younger Obi-Wan and younger Anakin. Maybe that's what Mike Chen's new Brotherhood book, maybe that's the business on Kato Nimodia. I love that character. Love the portrayal. Love Vincent D'Onofrio, and the Men in Black film franchise I didn't keep up with it, but I love that 1997 film so much. And despite the fact that it upset Douglas Adams, because he was like, I've been told for years I can't make a sci-fi comedy on a movie. What are you talking about? So I love everything about it. And just a bug going around the galaxy being evil. I love that. Want that.
Made for Star Wars.
And then the final one for me, I was like, all right, I got to allow myself one Song of Ice and Fire, Game of Thrones character. What can I do? A lot of choices, Jedi and bounty hunter and everything. I was like, no, we need just a force of evil. So the TV show version, because it's slightly different and not, we don't know as much in the books, but I'm going with the Night King, the being that was wrong, that was created against his will to do evil he didn't sign up for, but is now fully on board for evil. And his reasons for being evil, take over the world. Why? Because of evil. And it's a test for everyone else. Can you come together to fight evil, or are you going to fight amongst yourselves? Just drop him in. He just makes every planet he gets. He kills everyone, revives him, an army of the dead, turns a planet to ice, and he moves on to the next planet. And can the galaxy come together to stop him? We'll see.
Look, motivation wise, aesthetic wise, he's Ice Maul. So I think he's perfect.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So there you go. I allowed myself one, and that's where I'll stop. That's our honorable mentions, but we are up to our number one choices. These are characters we love from other stories, movies, shows, and we're going to put them into Star Wars as best we can. And my number one choice, so Joseph can close the show with his number one choice, is from a baseball film. Well, some people say it's not a baseball film, and I actually agree with that. And it's funny, I see that used in a negative connotation towards this movie. It's an interesting side debate. It's Field of Dreams. Love that movie. I love that movie. I have not actually read the book, the Kinsella novel that is the movie's based off of. I'll say that. But I'm going with Terrence Mann, who is James Earl Jones's character. So let's get James Earl Jones in Star Wars as another character. What I love. Yeah, Terrence Mann is this reclusive author based, you know, on some real life kind of ideas, not a direct one for one creation of character, but W.P. Kinsella put some of that stuff in there. But he is, you know, key to Kevin Costner's story, his Kinsella's journey, finds him. And, you know, he's an author who used to rock the boat. He used to fight the good fight. He used to be part of the resistance. He was there with Martin Luther King Jr., there with Robert Kennedy, all those kind of things. And then one by one, as the world started changing, he didn't see the point anymore, or didn't find the worth, but it changed his tune and started programming computer games and teaching children and taking the same principles he believed in, but now targeting the youth in a way of giving them a morality tale, giving them a series of morality tales to kind of fight the fight in a different way. Is that George Lucas? I'm not saying I'm putting George in this halo. But, you know, George is THX-1138. He's the guy who wanted to do Apocalypse Now. And along the way, he decides to, all right, let's do this morality tale for kids. And he affected an entire generation. But Terrence Mann is, he's bitter. He is maybe bruised by all the losses, scared, has some fear, and doesn't feel as though he has a place in the fight anymore. And all those kind of things, if you've seen the movie, you kind of know. And he comes back. He is so without hope. Denies a part of his past, denies the story of dreaming about being in a baseball field and having a field and all that good stuff. And is shook. And one of my favorite scenes in cinema is when Kevin Costner turns the Volkswagen van around and there's James Earl Jones as Terrence Mann going, "What did I see, Ray?" Gives me chills. It is a moment of reconnecting with hope, reconnecting with purpose, reconnecting with something else, and he kind of joins the journey in another way. So take all of that and put it into someone who is who went through the change from the Republic to the Empire. And maybe they meet Obi-Wan in a bar, and maybe Obi-Wan is on a mission. He runs into Terrence Mann, or he needs some help from Terrence Mann, but Terrence doesn't really want to be part of the fight anymore. I've done my part, and look what it got me. I'm trying to do this in other ways. And then he ends up joining the journey. So that's what I'm saying. James Earl Jones is Terrence Mann from Field of Dreams, but in Star Wars.
Beautiful. Well said. I have seen many famous clips. I have never seen all of Field of Dreams. So you're inspiring me that I got to check this out.
I highly recommend. It's an interesting side conversation. The amount of people, a lot of people, one of my friends, a former professional ball player, hates the film. And hates the film based around the idea that, well, it's not a baseball film. And my response to that is correct. Correct.
So let me ask you this. Terrence Mann, in the story of Field of Dreams, has he been a baseball player?
No, he was an author, just a whole author. But there's an interview they had given years and years and years ago about Ebbets Field, Brooklyn, the Dodgers, and what it meant to him. And because of that, Costner feels he's got some pain to that, and Costner's character finds him, and he denies it all. He denies everything. Until he can't anymore.
Okay. So I was curious what sport, if Terrence came with a sport that needed a Star Wars sport, if he needed to be a big fan of Nuna Ball or anything like that.
I think that's a great point, though. We don't have the Star Wars, to my knowledge, the Star Wars baseball equivalent. We need to get that. Nuna Ball might be close, but yeah.
Nuna Ball seems a little bit more football, hockey, right?
Yes.
That is a great choice. Very well said and very well communicated, and I can attest to that because I'm not familiar with the film.
There you go. We each have some homework. You got your first Transformers movie homework in before it was assigned.
Wow, it needed to be done. It would have blown my mind when I was a kid, both loving it and being so upset by it and thrilled to hear Weird Al. Oh, wow, what a journey.
There you go. So that is my number one choice. But, sir, we're going to go to your number one choice. Who do you want to put into Star Wars?
Well, my number one choice was going to be a Jedi. That's what I see so much when I watch other things of like, are these characters like Jedi? Are they striving to be Jedi? So I had to go with a character who I think is a Jedi. And it is actually two characters who are Jedi, plural, working together as a team and Solo. My number one is from the MCU, Captain America. Both Steve Rogers and Sam Wilson. I think their Jedi connection is a part of their great bond in their story together. I love the character of Captain America, gravitated toward him as a kid. I think the character has always, in the comics, different iterations, but it was certainly happening when I was reading them in the mid-80s, been the symbol of what America can and should be. Not necessarily what it is in the moment. He is the striving toward that. Let's be the best of ourselves. And I think for me, I particularly fell in love with the MCU adaptation, bringing that into the live action, adapting that, and having this character that on the surface, in the first film deals with this so much, is on the surface is just like, you're propaganda. You're a mouthpiece. And him saying, I don't want to just follow the structure and the order and, follow orders without questioning them. I want to find the spirit of it. What really, really needs to be done to help people. He gets grilled about why he wants to even be in the army. Is it to kill Nazis? And he responds, I don't like bullies. And there's a straight line between him fighting Nazis to him fighting Thanos because he stays true to just what is right. I want to help and defend people. My symbol is a shield. I want to be an agent of good that defends people from bullies. And then within all of that great journey, one of the other things that relates him very much to being Jedi-like and Star Wars-like and I'll get to Sam Wilson here on this connection too, is he constantly questions systems of authority in pursuit of staying true to his values. He's Ahsoka Tano.
He is.
Every film, he the army in the first film is telling him what to do, and he's questioning it in order to do the right thing. Then S.H.I.E.L.D. is telling him what to do, and he's questioning it in order to do the right thing. Then the actual U.S. government and half of the Avengers are telling him what to do, and he's questioning it in pursuit of trying to do the right thing. And when it comes time to pass the shield, he chooses Sam Wilson. And then we get this great story in Falcon and the Winter Soldier about Sam Wilson's complex journey to accepting that mantle. And, you know, even the real world conversations about, like, but he can't be Captain America because he should have super soldier serum and he doesn't have it. Yeah. And it's almost like the, you know, we're checking Sam Wilson's midichlorian count kind of thing. And the whole story for me that Steve Rogers gave Sam Wilson the shield, but because he saw that Sam Wilson's a Jedi,
yeah,
that he has that pure heart that truly wants to help people, defend people, make a difference. And crucially to the whole story of Falcon and the Winter Soldier is absolutely willing to question systems and to not blindly follow orders, but to make sure that he is doing things because he believes in them. And I think for me, that's this real Jedi story. It's rules and traditions are valuable and important, but they should also be questioned because organizations can rot from the inside. So you always got to be careful to make sure that you know what you're doing and why, to make sure that you are being the hero that you are choosing to be, that you are aspiring to be. And even when you stumble, you pick yourself back up, you know, and have that I can do this all day spirit, because you know you're made the right choice because you've checked and you've checked and you've checked with yourself that you're making the right choice.
I mean, beautiful description of those characters and what they mean to that story and to us. They absolutely belong in Star Wars. I'm almost bummed that they can't be in Star Wars. But the spirit is there. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, maybe the actors can.
Well,
yeah.
Could you imagine just a one for one, bring them on into the MCU here, Sam Wilson or Steve Rogers, doesn't matter, side by side with Ahsoka. That would be some great conversation, some great fighting off evil in the galaxy. I love that idea.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, did you go through some bad things with your organizations too? Yeah. Yeah, I did.
Yeah,
I really did.
I did. But I am not wavering. I know who I am. That's great stuff. Ah, that's a great list. You had to have someone from Marvel there. And that is the
choice. Yeah. And those are the Jedi pair going around together, right and wrongs.
Right and wrongs, indeed. Well, we have submitted a lot of choices from all parts of fandoms and the galaxy and planets that eat other planets, hitmen who need a heart to find a heart of gold, and so much more. And, of course, killer clowns, now a Gamorrean clown in Star Wars. Joseph, thank you for your list. A lot of fun. We might have to do this again down the line because there's more things to talk about and more characters to bring in.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. If you want to find us, you can do so by going to Twitter and finding us at Force Center Pod. You can use the hashtag Star Wars Ranked if you want to join the conversation, submit your own list, or debate me on what Field of Dreams is or not. Please don't. And Instagram and YouTube is the other spot to find us, as well as Facebook. You can like our Facebook page there at Force Center Podcast. You can get an audiobook on us by going to audibletrial.com/Force Center or merch at tpublic.com/users/Force Center. Hey, Star Wars Celebration coming up. Get a Force Center shirt so we can point at you from a far away and then run up to you and say hello on the convention floor. You can also find our podcast on Acast, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, a lot of places. Just search, you'll find us. And you can support us directly at patreon.com/Force Center. You can find me at Catnapsock. Go to my website, catnapsock.com. And Joseph, where can they find you and your musings on Captain America?
You can find all my musings on social media. Twitter, Instagram, TikTok is at Joseph Scrimshaw. I've been sharing some action figures, including some of the great retro Marvel action figures. That's a dangerous line for me. Very exciting. All my other adventures are on my website, josephscrimshaw.com.
There you go, my friends. Check it out. We'll see you next time. Star Wars has been great. Oh,
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.